All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Tuesday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Daw hanging out here with you, joined, as always, by Matthew Jacobs here, writer at the Auburn Daily. Matthew, we're going to continue kind of what our conversation was on last episode, I believe, on Thursday, kind of doing some position previews now that spring has come and gone for the Auburn Tigers. Obviously, we are yet to see some things happen in the transfer portal for the Tigers. So once those things happen, we may revisit some of these position groups. But as of right now, we're going to kind of take a dive into what we think about these different units post spring. We did quarterbacks, we did receivers, we did defensive backs. Now we are going to get into running backs and linebackers. Two very interesting units for the Tigers this upcoming season. I think with the running back room being one of the deepest, if not the deepest position on this team, and then linebacker having a lot of questions that we may have not expected based on what Hugh Freeze honestly said earlier on in the spring, which was that the linebacker room may be having some more depth than he expected. And then Auburn had three linebackers into the portal once the transfer portal window opened, and now they're sitting in a really interesting spot. But Matthew, we start with what running backs here, as we discussed, and we've got somebody at the top that, according to a couple of different outlets, may be one of the top 10, top five running backs in the country. Is Hugh Freeze going to use him that much? I don't know, but Jarquez Hunter is the dude this season after Tank Bigsby graduated and moved on to the NFL. Not graduated, moved on to the NFL. Tell me what we need to be thinking about Jarquez Hunter. Do we need to be buying into that hype? Do we not need to be? Just kind of give me a synopsis of what this player is in this offense.
Well, I mean, 5'10", 210-pound beast. The squat champion at Auburn, you know, from Philadelphia, Mississippi. Last year, backing up Tank, he was 675 yards and 7 touchdowns, I believe. So for career at Auburn, he's still like 12th or 13th on the list, and he's been a backup the entire time he's been there with, you know, 1,269 yards and 10 touchdowns, and he's caught 17 passes for about two and a quarter, bringing a couple of touchdowns on top of that. SEC All-Freshman a couple of years ago, and probably threw the best pass we saw last year out of the backfield when he hit Coy Moore for that touchdown. It was 21 yards, I can't remember. As you said, ranked 5th of the running backs going in this fall. And I really believe he's going to be a bell cow. I actually think he should be ranked a bit higher than that. I think he should probably be the third best, especially with this revamped offensive line. So if he can stay injury free, I think Hugh Freeze is going to have to ride him. He ends up being an all-SEC running back for sure and looks like everybody expects him to look. It's after there's where the question marks start coming.
Yeah, so Hunter last season, you know, I'll back this up to his freshman year. It was a situation where in the first three games that Auburn played, I mean, they were playing nobody before they played Penn State. He went off. He statistically, you know, dominated. Even in the Penn State game, he was averaging like over 6 yards a carry, broke a record, I think, for the longest touchdown run in Auburn history against Alabama State. I mean, statistically, his numbers were a little inflated. And as the season went on, as he got into SEC play, those numbers started to dip. And so the question heading into last year was, okay, if he gets more touches this season, is he going to be able to replicate what he did against that really bad competition year one? Or is this a situation where Jarquez Hunter is just that, a backup running back that occasionally has really good games or plays well in certain situations? And I think we saw last year, like you mentioned, broke out over 660 yards rushing. He also caught a few passes for the Tigers, just a very athletic dude, and really got to show his stuff late in the year against really good competition like Alabama and Texas A&M. So there's an expectation here that Jarquez Hunter is able to take that next step, become an all-SEC type of running back. I wrote a piece recently about what Hugh Freeze has done with 1,000-yard rushers, just kind of breaking down, you know, how important the running game has been for Hugh Freeze, not necessarily traditionally, but more of a rotational style, I guess, with the running back room and then getting the quarterback really involved. He's only had, I believe, 2,000-yard rushers in his Division I coaching career, and I truly do believe Jarquez Hunter could be the third guy here. Like you said, just a very, very solid stud, 5'10", 210 pounds. I think that he's got the frame, he's got the athleticism, he's got the mentality. I like his personality. He's quiet. He goes about his business. That's kind of what we saw out of Tank Bigsby last year as well. The Tigers really do have something special here. With their running back in Jarquez Hunter. I expect him to be the focal point of the backfield earlier or later on in the season. as things go along in SEC play. I think that he's going to continue on his tear that he began late last season with Carnell Williams taking over and kind of establishing more of a run first style offense for the Tigers, which is what Auburn fans have been asking for quite some time underneath Brian Harsin there. So Jarquez Hunter, running back one in this unit here for the Auburn Tigers. I believe we just lost Matthew to some internet connections. I'm sure he'll be hopping back in here in just a second. But until he hops back in, I'm going to go ahead and touch on running back that we all should be excited about. And he's the transfer in from USF, and that's Brian Batty. Now, I don't necessarily know statistically what Brian Batty is going to do relative to what he did at USF. Obviously, in a freshman All-American, when it comes to what he did on special teams, and he was able to accomplish a lot of things there. Statistically, I'll pull up his numbers here for you guys. He at USF, 1,800 plus yards rushing, 10 touchdowns, 2021 consensus All-American at kick returner. Last season, he had 1,186 yards at 6.7 yards per pop. So similar to Hunter. Let Matthew know that he can hop back in whenever he needs to. I'm assuming his internet is having some issues. But Brian Batty is an interesting player for the Tigers because he is one of those mouths to feed in this large group that needs players to get touches. You look at a guy like Damari Alston, who we'll talk about later. You look at a guy like Jeremiah Cobb, who, if there wasn't more depth in this room, could absolutely be a contributor for the Tigers day one. You have to kind of project, because we haven't seen Cobb, because we haven't really seen Alston, you kind of have to project out here what these different guys are going to do. And here we see Matthew hopping back in for the stream. I think that right now with a guy like Brian Batty, you're looking at a situation where he is a complimentary back. He is a solid running back for the Tigers. But at the end of the day, statistically, I don't think he's going to, I hate to say it, come close is the best terminology here, come close to what he was doing during his time at USF. But I do think he's going to be solid. I think that the change of pace, the speed there, despite the height, this is not a Sean Shivers type of thing where he's looking to kind of be that bowling ball type of running back. When he ran at Southern or USF rather, it wasn't necessarily like a bowling ball, like an awkward running style. I mean, he paced himself well. I think that Batty was just more overall well-rounded than what Shivers did. And then on top of that, you know, you had the speed as well. He was tearing it up too. I want to know against like SEC competition. Like he had a really solid game against Florida last season. I believe he played one SEC team the year prior. I may be mistaken on that, but he's shown the ability to do it against some really good competition. So Brian Batty was a very valuable addition to this year's squad, and I think that he's going to be a complimentary back that is able to make more of an impact in the return game, because that's what he's going to be. He's going to be KR1. And what he does there is probably going to be, in terms of scoring and momentum changing, is probably going to be really, really big for Auburn this upcoming season. So big on Brian Batty for what he's going to be able to do overall, but statistically probably not going to be the most dominant running back that Auburn has on roster this season. Damari Alston is the player I want to get to here next, and hopefully Matthew's able to hop back in here. If he's not, he's not giving me the indication that he's not going to be able to, so we're going to roll on. Damari Alston, the newbie in the rotation this past season, by default didn't see a lot of playing time because of that, but despite it, he finished inside the top 10 of PFF's individual offensive grades for the Tigers in 2022. He almost has an identical frame to Jarquez Hunter. He's 5'10", 205 pounds instead of 5'10", 210 or 210. But I think that's where the comparisons stop. Jarquez Hunter is, I think, a little bit different than Alston, and the fact that Alston is kind of that one cut bruiser. Hunter's more of an all around type of player that can also catch passes out of the backfield. It's that home run style play that Alston has that I think is, you know, statistically going to end up being somewhat similar to what Jarquez Hunter likes to do, but the way that they get those yards, I think, is going to end up being very different There's no fun trying to hold Jarquez down and then immediately having to account for Damari Alston, who would be the change of pace here outside of Batty. So you've got your all-around back, you've got your speed back, and then you got your bruiser in Damari Alston. And there's no fun in this being your third or second option because this guy does not shy away from contact. And I'm not saying that Jarquez Hunter or Brian Batty here do. I'm just saying Damari Alston is like seeking it out. He almost had 2,000 all-purpose yards as a junior in high school. He's got the potential to be a solid option in years to come for Auburn. Former four-star prospect here that we're looking at. Last season, 14 carries, 85 yards on the career, 6.1 yards per carry. His best game was against San Jose State. He only got two rushes for 38 yards. So what Damari Alston does in this offense, again, to go back to what Matthew and I were saying a little bit ago about Jarquez Hunter and Hugh Freeze in this offense, because you've got these three options, which I think all three of these guys are very, very capable players, I think that you are going to see a solid rotation. And I want to see Jarquez Hunter, and I believe he's going to be able to be that guy that cracks 1,000 yards for Hugh Freeze for the third time in his career. But if he doesn't, I don't think it's indicative, or maybe that's not the right word. I don't think that it's a negative thing for Auburn because of the fact that the rushing totals are going to come out from other spots. You're going to see Damari Alston get his touches and get those yards. You're going to see Brian Batty be a complimentary piece whenever he's not out there returning kicks. You're going to see statistically Auburn's rushing attack. It's not going to be as dominant as it was at the end of the year last season because all Auburn could do was run the ball. Duh, they're going to get a lot of rushing yards. But this season, I think that it's going to be a pretty dominant run game that Hugh Freeze has on his hands. And if you want to kind of compare this to what has happened for Freeze in his past seasons, not just in the SEC, but overall, when he first got to Ole Miss, that's what Ole Miss did for the first two or three years, is they ran the football. Now, they didn't run it successfully. They also ran it, I believe, quite a bit at Arkansas State as well in his lone season there. From a yards per carry perspective, the talent that Hugh Freeze had didn't execute, but they ran the football. You can go look at CFB stats. You can go look at the article that I wrote about Hugh Freeze and the 1,000-yard rushers breaking down. Look, these offenses, they put the ball on the ground and they had some attempts, but it didn't always work out. Once he got to Liberty and he'd found a quarterback that he was really comfortable with running a lot, that opened up some things for a couple of his running backs. He had a second 1,000-yard rusher in his career. And Malik Willis, as we all know, was great. He was great at Liberty. And we know him very well here as Auburn fans. But that's what we're looking at here is, regardless of whether or not statistically Jarquez Hunter dominates, you've got your Brian Batties, you've got your Damari Alstons to kind of help statistically pick things up. And at the end of the day, I think that this is a very solid running game. Matthew, back for the show, we just kind of talked a little bit about Brian Batty and Damari Alston. Take me through, Matthew, now that I've kind of given my two cents on Brian Batty, what you expect out of him with this Hugh Freeze offense this season after transferring from USF?
Well, 5'7", 165 pounds, small guy, but a high-twitch speed guy. Consensus All-American kickoff and punt returner, 3 touchdowns last year. I think that's primarily his position on this team. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he's going to make it as a backup running back on this team when you bring in Cobb. But, you know, a lot of people forget he did run the ball, only 1,186 yards in last year, and was second team all ACC with 10 touchdowns, excuse me. So he is definitely capable of toting the rock, but I still see them using him after 8 a.m. You know, he did a little bit, but I still see them using more of who am I looking for here?
Damari.
No.
Or Cobb.
No. I was thinking about Schwartz, Anthony Schwartz. I still think they use him more like they used Anthony Schwartz back in the day. So, because he's more of a one cut and gone type of guy, mm-hmm. So they might try to use him like that. However, he'll mostly be a returner and a situational guy.
Yeah. So I think statistically, that's what I was saying, is I think he's probably going to take a step back significantly where he was at USF. But the guy that I think is the change of pace back here is Damari Alston. And then you've got your Jeremiah Cobb as well, to see what he does with this rotation as well in his freshman year. Damari Alston, very similar in stature to Jarquez Hunter, but I think they've got a little bit of a different play style here. He was a really highly touted prospect coming out of high school, and after kind of being, you know, the third string guy for Auburn last year, he's going to have the ability to shine in this offense. At least we hope, based on the fact that Hugh Freeze has rotated pretty evenly his running backs in the past. Do we see that with Alston here?
I don't know. I mean, once again, speaking of Cobb, like you just did, where's that fight and that battle begin? Yep. Because Cobb's going to see the field, but we'll stick with Damari for now. You know, 5'9", 206. I think we were talking about that before I left. 85 total yards for Auburn. Mm-hmm. Played in 12 games, but I think he only rushed 14 times, if my memory serves me.
Yes, sir.
Very capable backup. He's not ready to be a starter, so let's really hope that Hunter can keep it together and keep it injury-free. I'm not sure how comfortable he's going to be in that role as a backup, but he's already been a reserve backup. Mm-hmm. But with Cobb coming in, that's going to push him pretty hard.
So let's talk about Jeremiah Cobb here for a second, because this is, I think, probably Auburn's most intriguing pickup of the 2023 class because of what this guy could be. I think the potential is off the charts for this kid after seeing what he was able to do down in Montgomery in high school. I mean, you can look at this guy's statistics and just be in awe for a second, but I want to talk here for a minute about the skill set. You may have some of the numbers here. If not, I can dive into those as well, but he can catch the ball. He can run the ball between and outside the tackles. He is apparently the comp for him is Alvin Kamara, who had a really, really solid tenure in the NFL with the Saints. I mean, this could be one of Auburn's best running back pickups that they've had, and they've had some really good ones over the past decade. Matthew, what do we see out of Cobb this year statistically on the field? Like you said, he's going to get touches. What do we see out of him? But moving forward, do we expect that role to grow?
I think first we're going to see him as a situational guy until they can see how much he can adapt, which the running back position adapts pretty well to the collegiate game after high school. But yeah, as you mentioned, four-star guy of Montgomery, and I don't really know his stats off the top of my head. I've watched a lot of film on the kid. First thing that jumps out at you is he's 5'11". He's the prototypical size, but he's only toting about 185 right now, so he's probably going to have to add 15 to 20 pounds to be an SEC all-down, every-down running back, which he is going to be. He's got the skill set. He shakes off contact very well. His yak yardage is going to be through the roof, yard after catch. It'll be off the chart for Auburn. Hopefully he can stay there. Catches everything that's near you. Has that miss, make you wiggle and make you miss kind of guy. But I think he is going to be, you mentioned earlier, the change of pace guy, talking about Damari Alston. I think that could fit Jeremiah Cobb this year as well, because he will definitely see the field as a freshman. He's too good not to. He's going to be an NFL running back. Cadillac can pack this room out. And he's going to be an NFL running back one day. It's just how much do they want to break him. Do you try to redshirt him? Do you play him in two games and see what goes and see how much it affects Damari?
Yep.
Do you wait for injury? I don't know. He's got the ability to come in and make an impact. He just needs to get in the nutrition room and the weight room over the summer and see if he can add a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can do with Jeremiah Cobb here because of that upside. What Auburn chooses to do with him will be very interesting. His high school statistics here, Matthew, and this is over the course of his 50 games in high school, 639 carries for 6,567 career yards, 75 rushing touchdowns. His career yards per carry was 10.3. His career receiving yards over those 50 games, 1,142. He had 15 receiving touchdowns, and his career yards per carry as a running back was 22.8.
Good Lord. And the best stat doesn't show up there. You should see him in pass protection. He loves the contact. He loves to just whip linebackers as they try to come in there, and he can do that, then dip out and catch a pass. As you just mentioned, he is a fantastic. He's probably one of the better gets I've seen Auburn get in probably a decade.
It's a very, very intriguing piece for Auburn for what he could be this year, like you said, for situational things, or maybe they just made the side direction. There's so many different things they could do with this kid. Just don't waste his talent I guess what we're getting to.
And hope he enjoys being Hank Brown's roommate, because they've already buddies and they're going to be staying together. So let's see, that's the future of Auburn.
That should be a very fun combo potentially in the future. So that's the running back room overall. I think that Auburn, this may be one of the deepest units, if not the deepest on the team. Kind of give me your overall thoughts here, Matthew, before we transition to linebacker.
good. It's going to be really good behind this revamped offensive line. I think they're going to pick up a few more. They'll probably pick up Muskrat. I'm going to go ahead and figure that one to back up on the offensive line and get a few more guys that are prepared. This offensive line is going to be a lot better than we've seen in so many years. I don't even want to think about it because it's sad for me. But they're going to have to be relied on because until we find somebody who can play quarterback, this is going to be a running football team. Yep. And even after we find somebody, we're going to have to pass off of the run game. So we have some very capable guys. And you left one out. Sean Jackson, I think, is our third down back this year. So that's one guy who looked great on A-Day. And Coach Caddy said he was the best pass blocker on the team. So, and he caught an excellent pass on A-Day from Holton Gurner.
Yep.
That was an awful pass, but he made an excellent catch is what I should say. So this is a stacked. And they're not done yet. They might add another freshman if they don't pick up another guy in the portal to this room. This is a deadly, deadly room. This might be on par with Georgia. It might be Auburn, Georgia is what we're talking about. I mean, I know Alabama's got one guy up there that's pretty lights out, but as far as top to bottom, Auburn's got it there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And I know that may be hard for some people to take there, saying that, you know, it's comparable to a team like Georgia. I don't really think it matters that Georgia has, you know, the four or five stars. I mean, Auburn's got them. Auburn's got them too. And so you have a guy like Jeremiah Cobb, who's essentially your third or fourth guy, technically, I guess, heading into the fall before he's able to kind of combat things and kind of fight through some type of battle here with Damari Alston. I mean, you've got a lot of potential in this room. And then your fifth guy's on scholarship in Sean Jackson. And he's gotten praise from the coaching staff. And it's not just been a Matthew Hill situation where it's like a, hey, this guy's doing this, that, and the other, and he never sees the field. It's like a, hey, this guy's doing this, that, and the other, and then he saw the field a little bit. And he's probably, like you said, one of Auburn's best pass blockers because of his stature here. And he's another guy that's kind of like, maybe this is not the best use of the word because he's not going to be this, but a change of pace style back where you've got your overall, you've got your Jarquez Hunter, you got your speed if you want it, and Brian Batty. Damari Alston has some pretty solid speed as well. Jeremiah Cobb is probably, I hate to say your pass catching back, but he's your all-purpose back as well. And then you got your bruiser in Sean Jackson, if you really want to go there, which I don't know if Auburn's going to, but they can, I think, if they want to, for third down situations. So it's stacked. That's the word to use. You said, whenever I said, how do you think it's going to pan out this year? You said, good. And I think that's where we stop and end it there with this running back room. It's going to be a good running back room. So
yes.
Very excited to see what this running game does as a whole for the Tigers in 2023. We're going to dive into the linebacking core. Not as many positive things to say about the linebacking core. It's not like we're going to criticize them to death, but there are certainly some more question marks, I would say, about this linebacker room. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you guys that this video is sponsored by NordVPN. As we've been talking about, staying safe online is really, really difficult. It depends on how you browse the internet. It's very easy to get exploited by hackers. It's very easy to be thinking that you're downloading one thing when in fact you're downloading probably 30 others. So NordVPN is a really, really solid thing for you to help you to change your IP address, making you harder to track whenever you're browsing the internet. It can help you secure your privacy as well. And today, NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. So make sure you check out the link in the episode description today to get that. Once again, thank you so much to NordVPN for sponsoring today's episode. So, Matthew, we did running backs, and now we've got linebackers. I believe that you want to start here with the outside and work your way in. Based on the way that Auburn was heading into the spring, I want to preface this with kind of what I was saying earlier in the show. Auburn was heading into the spring with, you know, a decent amount of bodies because of what they had picked up in the transfer portal. Overall, I think that Hugh Freeze initially was down on these running backs. If I recall how he was talking about them after and before practices. And then there was some point either middle of the way through spring or a little bit before middle of the way through spring where Freeze was like, we're actually tackling really well. And I'm more surprised about this unit because there's some depth here. There's something to be had here. There's something to be said about what these guys are doing. And then they have three guys enter the portal, and now they're sitting in a spot where they may want to pick up somebody else, to be honest with you, in the transfer portal. Are they going to get them? I don't know. But the Tigers right now, they've got some pieces. Like, we've not seen some of these guys hit the field yet, so it's really hard to judge them. But overall, I mean, again, like I said before the ad read, there's more questions here I think, than answers right now. Will those questions be answered in the fall? I assume so, but as of right now, it's a little bit of a mystery.
Well, let's just say Josh Aldridge, the linebackers coach, has his hands full. And you're right, there's a ton of questions there, but I'm not sure they're bad questions. I just think there's questions that we haven't seen. We'll start with Cam Riley Sr. He's gotten a lot of, I'll say, bad ink so far this spring because he kind of just vanished. I don't think that you saw him at all in spring much, and I know that I didn't see much of him unless he was wearing a number I didn't notice. But, you know, he's a 6'5" junior, has all the size in the world, speed in the world, has 87 tackles in his career at Auburn, but this is one of those guys where you're going to, like, he's been at Auburn for 3 years. If not now, then when? I haven't seen what I thought I would see out of him at this point with that size and that physicality and that speed. So I really don't have a lot to say about Cam. He's still listed as, you know, basically the starter coming out of spring camp. And most outlets have him as the starter. But when we didn't see anything, we can't really comment on it except to hope that he's made an outstanding leap during the offseason there. And maybe they're holding him back. You know, we talked about that with wide receivers the other day. Maybe it's something like, hey, we know we got something here. We don't need to show everybody, but I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense for the linebacker spot. And like you said, he's been in the system for 3 years now. Well, not the system, because the system has been drastically changing. But he's been at Auburn. He's been in college for 3 seasons developing, so to speak. Not quite sure what the previous coaching staff was doing in terms of development, but he's been here. And last season he was, I believe, second on the team in total tackles at 64. Right now, Auburn is in a spot where, like you said, you got somebody that was good for you last year, at least produced. And I don't really know where he's going to fit into this rotation because nobody's really talked about him. Does DeMario Tolan, does Austin Keith, does somebody take his spot here? I don't know. But right now, Cam Riley is somebody that with the size, with the, you know, the recruiting status, what he was coming out of high school, there should have been. At least some sort of expectation for him to pan out into something more special. And maybe there was an expectation heading into the spring that, okay, he has something to build off now. He has 60 plus tackle season. There's something to be had here. And we haven't heard a lot. So where does Auburn go from here? I'm sure there's other places to look in this linebacker core. Not a whole lot. That's kind of where it sits right now with Cam Riley.
That's going to be a recurring theme during this conversation is guys that haven't met their developmental goals. And if that's the coaching staff's fault or not, I mean, these guys' money, they're the ones that's trying to have a career here. They're the ones putting the sweat equity out there and putting their bodies on the line. But transversely, like we were talking about Riley being such a prospect, then you're going to have to mention Wesley Steiner, who wasn't that much, as far as I recall. Nobody was expecting that much from him. I mean, he's 6 foot tall, even 240 pounds. It's kind of an odd size for me for a linebacker. He's not that fast. But when he got his role last year, when he got his chance, I mean, think about it. If you remember, he started versus LSU and led the team with 11 tackles, looked great that game. He had six tackles at Georgia, recorded 10 versus Ole Miss. So every SEC game he got into, he looked well. He looked pretty well every time he got the opportunity. So maybe he's the one that made the huge jump, and that's the reason he saw a lot more of the spring, and we heard a lot more of him in the spring. So maybe he's, I don't know, unseating Cam Riley, so to speak. Maybe Cam Riley's starting to slide down the depth chart a little bit, just because if you're not hitting it by this time, then you're probably not going to hit it in the fall unless something changes. So I don't know. Maybe Steiner that gets the start there. He's a senior, so he's played some ball.
He's got the accolades and he's got the experience here to do something for Auburn. I want to pose a question to Matthew before we move along, because we're talking about Steiner, we're talking about Riley, we're talking about guys that have not necessarily shown the development based on how far they all are along in their career. When you look at Auburn's defense last season, it's one of the biggest problems that Auburn had was stopping the run and kind of filling those gaps. And there was apparently a lot of miscommunication in the second level when it came to just guys not understanding where they needed to be, where their assignments were, you know, how they should be tackling, where they should be going. Do you think that despite those issues, Auburn is going to be able to pull out of that with new linebackers coach Josh Aldridge and this new scheme with Ron Roberts? Or do you think that these players have kind of hit their peak? like guys like Cam Riley, guys like Wesley Steiner, do you think that we're just going to kind of see them be kind of what they have been in this linebacker rotation in their final years with the Tigers?
Well, no, there's no way they've hit their ceiling. Mm-hmm. I think you have to look at it like we're going to trash previous coaching staffs again. But quarterback development, it's basically defensive quarterback development if you think about it. And you think about how poor the quarterbacks have been developed in the past, I don't know, how old are you? But anyway, for many, many years, the linebackers have been the same for the last several years, which is surprising because Auburn is tailback you and linebacker you. We're fixing to put another one in the draft, you know. So these guys haven't hit their ceiling. This defense is going to free them up more. They're not going to have to think as much. They're going to be able to be schemed. Like, they're going to look over, they're going to get their assignment, and they're like, okay, go, I hate to use this word, let me try to think of a different word, go destroy 12. That's your assignment. And then you tell, and then the defense line looks over. They're taking a lot of, this defense takes a lot of responsibility off of the linebackers, which I think helps these guys excel, if that answers your question.
I think absolutely. It will help Auburn make some moves there with their linebacking core. So we've got, you know, we've got Cam Riley, we've got Wesley Steiner. Where do you want to go next here, Matthew, in this linebacker room?
Only one worth mentioning as far as the weak side is going to be the Asante, you know, the redshirt senior out of North Carolina. And I don't know what to make of him. 6'2", 220, played in 4 games last year, 1 tackle total, I think, vanished in the spring. I didn't see anything of him in the spring. I don't know if you did. But, man, he's played a ton of football over his career. And everybody will tell you, every scout will say, you know, he had NFL type. They were thinking 3rd, 4th round on this guy, maybe, you know, maybe even higher. He has NFL speed, ability, all these things. One of these guys that's another should-be guy. He should be this, he should be that, but Auburn hasn't shown it. He hasn't shown it at Auburn yet. And that goes back to what you were just saying as far as, is it coaching staff? Is that the developmental issue? And can these guys catch up, or are they just frustrated? You have to ask about your frustration factor there. They've had 3 different coaching staffs, and you hope that they go, well, this is the one I relate to. This is the easiest one. Let me just go out there and play football and have fun again. Because they did not look like they were having fun last year at linebacker. That's just my opinion. So maybe if they get to have a little fun, the weak side becomes something that we can talk about positively. Once again, all of these guys, all 3 of these guys we mentioned, can play SEC football. It's just a matter, are they going to? Are they going to be ready to when the lights go on?
And that's something that we're going to have to find out. So there's the weak side there. Take me to more of the inside here, Matthew. Who do you want to start with?
We're going to start with who's on everybody's depth chart. Austin Keys is there.
Yes, sir.
No matter who talks about what, Austin Keys is the guy that ends up starting at middle. Like, they even bring middle linebackers into the weak side to try to flesh that out a little bit. But Austin Keys, you know, junior out of Ole Miss, 6'2", 235, 51 career tackles at Ole Miss, played 23 games with 5 starts, 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery, if I'm not mistaken. A solid guy, played a ton of SEC, has played a ton of SEC ball for, you know, compared to the other guys here, and compared to a lot of linebackers across the league, he's played more than a lot. Mm-hmm. He looked good all spring. He looked great all spring. Let's just say that. He looked really good all spring. He was the only one I saw that made good wrap-up tackling through a guy. Made great reads. Solid guy. Good starter. I think he's the starter at the middle position. And I think they've got some other guys at middle that are so good that they're looking at moving them to the weak side. So
Austin Keys is, you know, in a linebacking core full of uncertainty as far as how these guys are going to pan out. I feel like Austin Keys is one of the more certain things in this core when it comes to just expectation. And like you mentioned, really solid size. You know, Auburn has not been known for having large linebackers outside of Cam Riley, you know, at 6'2", 240, or 235, rather. I mean, that's solid. That's what you want is in terms of height. So I think Auburn got a good one in Austin Keys, and he's somebody that Auburn really needed to kind of help solidify the middle of this linebacking core. Continuing along, though, in the middle of the linebacking core, where are we hopping next?
I would say Robert Woodyard is going to be my number 2 guy there. And once again, I think all these guys could end up playing the weak side position. They're that good that you're stacked at middle. So you got Woodyard, you know, 6'2", 241, defensive scout player of the team last year, player of the year last year for Auburn. I mean, he's a hard worker. He's one of those guys, like we were discussing earlier, that wasn't supposed to come in and be all world that I know of, unless you know something I don't know. which wouldn't surprise me, but he has worked his tail off. He looked great in spring. Don't really know what we have with him. I'm not sure the coaching staff knows what they got with him either, but he's an extremely hard worker. It hasn't been able to translate to the field yet, but that doesn't mean it won't. He's a sophomore, so I'm not sure he's ready, but I guess we're going to find out because he's going to play this year. I think every name we've mentioned so far, if they're still on the Auburn team come fall, they're going to see some playing time until they get this figured out.
Yep. Yeah, at three tackles last year for the Tigers. He was not, like you said, expected to come in and be the dude. But, I mean, he's a former top 150 recruit, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite, former four-star, solid four-star at that. And like you said, he's continued to work. He's continued to put it in. You cash in, cash out every single day. And he's been one of those guys that has been consistently called out for that throughout the spring. And I think that Auburn, with some of these, I guess, twos or maybe two types that they've had in the past that are now are going to be rising to ones, I think that you have to, if you're going to be positive and you're going to kind of take the, okay, well, these guys are going to pan out road, you have to look at guys like Robert Woodyard and say, okay, former solid four-star, he's not gotten the chance, really gotten the chance to shine yet. He's going to. And I really, really do hope that that is the case for Robert Woodyard. At least that should be somewhat of the expectation for him this year. And whenever I say he's going to shine or excel, I don't mean, oh, he's going to get 100 tackles and he's going to win, you know, SEC linebacker of the year or anything like that. I'm just saying he's going to fill his role or what has been his expected role since he got here coming out of high school. So you've got Robert Woodyard there as a really solid piece for the Tigers that could be something that pops off for him. So you've got Riley, Keys, Asante. I believe we touched on Tolan. We've got Steiner. Is there anybody that I'm missing here, Matthew?
We didn't talk about Tolan.
We did not talk about Tolan.
Yeah, and that's the wild card of this. That's really the wild card of this whole room, if you ask me. He's transferred from LSU where he played 12 games. He played in all 12 games as a true freshman for LSU, so we've seen him play. We saw him against Auburn. He smacked some people around against Auburn. He played against Alabama and Ole Miss and played pretty well. I'm not sure about how he did this spring at Auburn. I don't know if he impressed anybody. Not sure where he fits in. But he's got a great skill set, very fast. He played running back in high school, was pretty good at it. But he's one of those guys I'm looking at, 6'1", 205 pounds this spring, confirmed in February. He needs another 15 or 20 pounds on him if he wants to be serious about this position, in my opinion. But well, he's got the experience, he's got the ability, and everybody in the world wanted him when he wanted out of LSU. Everybody wanted him, so there's got to be a reason there. So he's another one. And that's – I'll see what your opinion of Tolan is before I sum it up.
I agree with you. I think that he was a solid pickup out of LSU. He did not – impress as much as people expected him to in the spring. And I don't know if that's a fault of his. I don't know if that's just the way that the coaching staff decided to rotate him through to start things off here. I agree. I think he's got to put on weight, sitting at 203 right now. Got to put on a little bit more weight there if he wants to, like you said, get serious about this core here. But he's just another guy that could be somebody for Auburn, but I don't know if he's going to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of not sure's in this Auburn linebacker room. A lot of could-be's, a lot of should-be's. But there is a ton of talent there. We know it sounds like we're panning them, and I've heard so many other prognosticators say the Auburn linebackers are not good. But these guys are all capable linebackers. There's a lot of teams that would love to have any one of them. And it's kind of like the running back room. You kind of like these guys are sneaky good. And you go, you know, of course you take out Hunter off that list because he's not sneaky. But I mean, there's some guys on this linebacking corps that's sneaky good. And with the defensive backs they have behind them, and with Aldridge and Roberts kind of scheming these guys up, and they should be taught well come fall. They should have a better understanding, and it won't be so vanilla as we saw in spring and in A-Day. I still think these guys get to helping Auburn be one of the top three defenses in 2023. There's that much talent in this room. I'm not ready to give up on it. And they might add one to the portal. They might add another freshman in there. I don't know. But I'm not worried about it. A lot of people are worried about it. I'm not worried about anything on the defense. Some depth would be great. But I think this defense is going to outplay whatever everybody's expectations.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the linebacking core for the Auburn Tigers. Our preview post-spring for Hugh Freeze's squad here. And that's the wrap up for linebackers and running backs. Any final thoughts here, Matthew, before we head out?
No, I'm good, Lance, unless you got something.
I don't think I do. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. You can follow both of us on Twitter at @LanceDahl_ at @_MattJacobs. You can also follow us on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. Check us out over at auburndaily.com. Got all of our written work covering the transfer portal and Auburn's post-spring stuff there. And we will see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.